right. Good morning, church. Y'all clap like you're crazy, and then I say good morning.
Good morning.
Let's try that again, all right? Good morning, y'all. Man, it's good to be here celebrating all that God has done, church. If you're new with us again, we are really glad that you're here. Today is a special day for our church family as we celebrate 9 years here at Authentic Life Church. And here's the crazy thing. I don't know if you guys really understand how amazing 9 years is. Tucson, this part of Tucson, is one of the most transient areas of Tucson, and it is one of the most unchurched, unsaved areas of Tucson. And it's just been amazing all that God has done. It doesn't seem that long ago that when our family was called to join y'all here in Tucson to start Authentic Life, and we still pray the same prayer that we've been praying for years. God, do things in and through us that only you can take credit for. And God has answered that prayer. Man, he's done so much. On January 11, 2015, after about a year of prayer and planning and preparing and meeting, we met for our first really official public launch. For months before that, we had met in our home and had some what we call preview services, but we launched on January 11, 2015. Most of the people who were part of our core team, founding members of Authentic Life, are still here. That's not normal. It's amazing, church. They're still very much a part of this family, serving the Lord, celebrating with us today. There were other partners that came alongside us as well, other churches, other individuals that came along to pray and to help and to serve. But these six families, church, man, that God brought together at the very beginning to be a part of this church starting, man, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for you. You know who you are. God knows your heart. He sees all that you're still doing. And so thank you to you founding members that are still serving and giving and loving and being so faithful. Church, we have so much to thank God for. We've seen God do a lot of things. Man, we've seen so many people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've seen so many baptized. We've seen lives changed, marriages rescued. It's just so amazing to be a part of what God is doing here in Tucson for 9 years. Church, we got to stay after it. Right? We got to stay after it. Let's keep going. Let's keep serving. Let's keep giving. Let's keep praying. Let's keep loving one another. Let's keep loving and serving our community well. Let's continue to share the gospel of Jesus. Continue to love and serve and make much of Jesus. And church, by the grace of God, we'll always remain faithful to the word of God. As we celebrate today, my prayer, I've been praying this week that our church would understand two truths, two simple truths. First and foremost, we need him. Right? He's in charge. Right? We need him. We have nothing and can do nothing apart from Jesus. We were made to be with him and to follow him and to prayerfully depend on him. And so that is number one, and it must always be number one. The second thing is we need one another, right? We need one another. We need him and we need one another. And one thing that we say a lot at our church is that we are better together. We've said that for 9+ years. We are better together, we are stronger together, and we need one another. Right, we cannot be and we cannot do all that God wants us to be and do without everyone. Man, this is not a spectator sport, church. This is everybody getting the game. Amen, right? It's been said, I didn't say this to begin with, but that church is not an event that we attend. That's not what's happening at church. Amen, right? Church is not an event we attend. Church is a family to belong to. Right? Ephesians 1 reminds us that if you are saved, if you've trusted Jesus, you are adopted into the family of God. And so there's none of this, I love Jesus, but hate his family. Man, that can't happen, right? And so we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family, and family is better when they are together and united. And so I look forward to looking to God's word this morning to see the importance of us being together. Many times the church is looked at as an event or something that we can go to and be a part of every now and then or whenever we feel like it. Let me just say from the authority of God's word, that's not God's design. That's not his plan. It's not his idea of what his family is. And since not me, not y'all, but since he, Jesus, is the head of the church, since he's in charge, let's trust him. Amen. Right? Let's look to God's word to see and be reminded and be encouraged by the truth that we are better together. What a great thing to talk about this morning as we celebrate 9 years. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Hebrews chapter 10. If you need a Bible, we've got a stack of them back there. They are our gift to you. Go and grab one. We would love for you to have one. Today, we're going to be diving into Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. But before we get to those two and focus on those, on those two verses, I think it's a good idea for us to look at the verses that lead up to it. One of the things that we love to do at Authentic Life is to teach all the Word of God, right? Go through it verse by verse and in the proper context. And so we're going to read verses 19 through 25 and then focus on 24 and 25. And we're going to see some really important takeaways and truths for our church and how God calls us to be together. And so let's do that this morning. Would you guys stand to honor God in the reading of His Word? You guys follow along as I read from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Here's what God's Word says, church. Therefore, brethren, that word is a familial word. It's speaking to family. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray, church. God, we celebrate You. We celebrate all that You have done here in Tucson and in and through us at Authentic Life Church. God, we praise You for that. Lord, we're about to open the Word of God and walk through it. We pray, Lord, that You would be glorified that by what comes out of my mouth. God, that You would be leading all of that. God, we pray, Lord, that all of us would hear from You and respond to You as You teach us today. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You can be seated. I think it's pretty important to start by reminding us that we were made to be with God, all of us. We were made to know Him and to be loved by Him and to love Him. When God took the time to create us, church, He made us in His image. Before that, there was a lot of, and God said, and God said, and God said, and there was. But with us, He made us, He formed us in His image. That means He made us valuable. He made us to be able to relate, and to be able to have will, and to be able to have reason, and have emotion, so that we could walk with Him, church, so that we could love Him and follow Him. But we all have heard the story, we've experienced it in our own life, but in Genesis chapter 3, sin entered into our world. And it wasn't just Adam and Eve who sinned. We can blame them all we want. The Bible says that all have sinned. You have sinned, I've sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin separated us, church, from our perfect and holy God, the One who made us and loves us. But it's just as we celebrated at Christmas, Jesus came, church. He came into our world to make a way for you and I to be able to be forgiven of our sins and to have a relationship with Him and to be able to be with Him for eternity. You and I, even when it was our sin that caused the divide, Jesus made it possible for us to have access to God. God demonstrated, the Bible says, His love. He proved His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at what it says in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, therefore, family, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Church, we have the confidence to enter the holy place, to enter into God's presence, not because of anything that you've done, not because of anything that I've done, but because of Jesus, because of who He is and what Jesus did. So we can now have a relationship with God. We can enter into His presence. We can worship Him and worship Him together only because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He came as God to be with us. He came and lived a perfect life that we could not live, a sinless life. And church, He died in our place. The cross didn't catch Jesus by surprise. He came for the cross. Jesus says in Mark 10:45, before he died, well before he died, he said that he came not to serve, or not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We've all seen TV shows, right, where a ransom is paid. A ransom is paid for the freedom of someone. Jesus paid the price that we owed. He paid the price for our freedom so that we could be free from the slavery of sin, from the penalty of sin. His body, his flesh was beaten and torn. He shed his blood on the cross, paying the price for you and me to be saved and to be forgiven so that we could be with him now and for eternity. And I love this. When Jesus was on the cross before he died, he yelled out, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He stamped it, paid in full. The price has been paid. And through Jesus, your sins, my sins, can be forgiven. He opened the door for you and me to have a relationship with him and to be in his presence. Verse 19 says that we can have confidence, church, right? We can have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now, hear me clearly. It's important that we get that. It's not because of how good we are, church. It's not because of how much money we have. It doesn't matter what we've done because we can't do enough. It was Jesus, church. The blood of Jesus. The original audience especially would have understood this phrase, to enter the holy place, because previous to Jesus coming, only the high priest, church, and only once a year could that high priest enter into the holy place. Before Jesus, no one outside of this priest once a year would have even thought about entering the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God. Their life would have ended like that. God's presence was separated from the people in this place of this holy place. There was a thick veil that was hung. But the Bible tells us that when he poured out his blood on the cross for us, the Bible says, church, this is huge, the veil was torn. You and I can now have a personal relationship. We can enter into the presence of God and worship him, church, because of the blood of Jesus. The only way we have access to a relationship with a perfect and holy God was for Jesus to be the sacrifice. He paid the price for you and for me and for your neighbors and for your enemies. So we can now draw near to him because of Jesus. We can be saved. The Bible tells us that we can be saved. We can know for sure that we are saved by Jesus and spend eternity with him if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and that Jesus, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We can know Jesus personally. We can know that we will be with him for eternity, not because of how good we are, not because of how many times you come to church, not by how thick your Bible is. It's all because of Jesus. Simply surrendering to Jesus. Verse 22 says that we are to draw near to him. We gather today and we make much of Jesus. We worship Jesus. We open the word of God and we gather because of Jesus. He's the reason. I'm not the reason. Y'all aren't the reason. He's it, church, right? He's the reason we're here today. He's the reason we've been able to gather for 9 years, church. Jesus is the one we point everyone else to. He is the reason we sing and we gather. I remember before we launched, I had a guy from, Family Life Radio. You guys remember, you guys know that, right? So Family Life, he calls me up out of the blue and he calls me up and he says, "Pastor, I'd love to meet with you." So we went to Panera and we were supposed to be there for about 30 minutes to an hour. We were there for 3 hours, church, as this man shared with me how people have been praying for this area for a new church to be planted for 50 years. Before I was even born, people were praying that a Christ-centered biblical church would be planted in this area. It's all about Jesus, church. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, he is faithful, church. Right? This is a call for us to persevere in hope. In other words, because of who Jesus is, because of what he did for us, because we know that we will be with him for eternity, because we can now stand firm, we can endure and persevere because of the hope we have in Jesus. No matter what's going on in the world around us, no matter what's going on in our life, we can stand firm in Jesus, church. Here's good news. I got a lot of texts today, really people sad they couldn't be here today because they're sick. Guess what? One day there's going to be no more sickness, no more death, no more cancer, no more fear, no more tears, just in the presence of our perfect Jesus. This world is not all there is. Jesus is coming again, and whether he comes and takes us home or whether we leave this world through death, we can know for sure that we will be with Jesus in heaven when we trust in him and call on Jesus to save us, church. I love telling people about Jesus. And all that leads us to our main focus today in verse 24 through 25. The author of Hebrews is saying to us as Christians, as Christ followers, as his church. Listen, don't miss this. In light of what Jesus has done, looking forward to what Jesus will do, and in knowing who Jesus is, we draw near to him. We have hope and we persevere in him. And then verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. In Hebrews, we don't really know who the author of Hebrews is. There's some ideas out there who people think it is, but church, I don't know for sure, okay? So we're just going to say the author. Is that good? Does that sound okay, right? The author is addressing a few different things here. And one of the things that he's addressing in Hebrews and in chapter 10 is Christians who are struggling. Anybody here ever struggled, right? These Christians are discouraged. They're surrounded by persecution. They're surrounded by hardship. They're surrounded by false teaching. And they're struggling, church. They need encouragement as they pursue Jesus and as they grow in their walk with him and as they come together as the church family. And so they're also facing the temptation, right? When you go through a hard time, sometimes it's just you're just tempted to say, I'm just going to give up. They're facing the temptation to just stop pursuing Jesus. You ever face that? They're facing temptation to go back to how they lived before they belonged to Jesus. And some are tempted to just go along with this false teaching because it's easier. And so the author is speaking some truth into their lives and he's encouraging them, reminding them of who they have in Jesus. In verse 24, he reminds them, he's been talking about who they have in Jesus. And then he reminds them of the family that they have because of Jesus. The importance of the family. So let's walk through these two verses and see three truths that will lead us and encourage us as we follow and worship and serve Jesus together. Look at what he says in verse 24. He says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. The CSB translation says, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. I want us to begin by focusing on the first part. Let us consider one another. When he says, let us, I need you to know something. He's talking to us. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to this church. Amen? You got all ready to receive what he's got for us? Right? Because he's talking to us today. We, the church, we are the us in this sentence. The church, Christ followers. And so what are we supposed to do? He says we're to consider one another. To consider one another means to observe and understand one another. It means to watch out for one another, church. This is a command, guys. This is not God saying, I got a good idea for you. You should try it. He's saying, do this. As a church family, right? The command as a church family is to first be a part of the family. Be present. Be active. Be involved. Because none of the rest of it will matter if you're not actively involved, church. Right? We can't consider and watch out for one another if we are not with each other. But the author is telling them and he's telling us, you need each other. You are better together. Because as a church family, number one, we are to watch out for one another. We're to watch out for one another. If you got your bulletins, that's number one. Be with one another. Be aware of what's going on in each other's lives. Notice one another. Watch out for one another. If you've had young kids or you have kids now or you got kids coming, right? We think about your kiddos. When we take our kids to the park or we go to the store or really anywhere in this crazy world, right? There is a difference in me knowing where my kids are and looking towards them occasionally as I do my own thing. There's a difference in that and really watching out for them, knowing what's going on, knowing where they are, knowing who they're with, knowing what they're doing and what dangers may be around them. When I'm really considering my kids, what am I doing? I'm watching out for them. I'm not only present in their life, but I'm involved in their life. And I'm aware. Now, let's be honest. This is hard in our world today. Because we live in a society where we've been trained to say, hey, mind your own business. We live in a world where we say, I don't really want you speaking into my life. The Western world has become very individualistic. Hebrews 10 is saying none of that is God's design. I love America, so hear what I'm saying. That may be the American way, but it's not Jesus' way. Hebrews is saying we need each other to be involved in our lives. Men, sometimes we just get this little attitude like we're so big and tough and we got it all figured out. We don't. Jesus is smarter than us. We need each other, men. Ladies, y'all need each other. Young people, you need each other. You need the church, right? There's no way for us to consider and to watch out for one another, to be attentive to one another if we're not intentionally involved in each other's life. And so this is a call, a command to be intentional about doing life together. The Bible is telling you and me this morning something that's just hard for us to hear. The Bible's saying if you are a Christ follower, then you need to be a part of a local, godly, Christ-centered, biblical church. It's a good part to say amen. I'm just helping you out here a little bit, okay? Class participation, right? And if you're a part of that church family, if you're a part of this church family, Authentic Life, then my life is your business. Your life is my business. Now, let me talk to some of you nosy Nancys out there. We're not talking about being nosy and gossipy. That's sin, church. Amen? Right? But we are to be intentionally, I'm not saying anybody's nosy. Sometimes you are, right? Like sometimes this happens. But we're to be intentional and be involved and watch out for one another. For the last 9 years, I have experienced this and know it to be true. Because church, when I've tried to do life or church or ministry on my own, man, I fall on my face. I need you. Y'all need me, right? We need each other. We were never meant to do life and we were never meant to walk with Jesus alone. We need to be with each other. We need to see each other. We need to listen to each other. We need to share with each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to support each other, right? We need to help one another. We need to watch out for one another. Church, don't shy away from community. Don't start hiding when others want to interact with you and start doing life with you. I was talking with someone this morning, like I'm an extrovert, if you guys didn't know that. Just a little bit. But most of you all are like crazy introverts. But we got to work together, amen? Like if I chase after you, just know I love you, right? An introvert told me this morning that I'm scary. Like extroverts are scary. You know who you are, right? Don't hide. Like do life together. Let's be committed to watching out for one another. Here's another important truth. This isn't in your notes. This is free, church. When you are saved by Jesus, you were saved from your sins, and you were saved into a family, not into isolation. Come on, right? Right, there's a common misunderstanding that one's faith is only personal. You ever been involved in keep religion and politics to yourself? The Bible doesn't say that, church, right? God never calls us to live our Christian life alone, but together with the family, lifting one another up, encouraging each other, walking, working, and serving together. And by the way, God never calls us to keep Jesus to ourselves either. But to share him with others, invite others to follow Jesus with you. And here's the thing, just tell people the story of what Jesus did for you. That's super simple, church. No one can take away your story. I'm a little fired up today. Are y'all with me? Man, that's good. And so as we pay attention and consider one another and watch out for one another, verse 24 says, and let's consider what? How to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. To stimulate means to incite, to push, to provoke. Your translation may use one of those words. It means to provoke someone to do something, incite someone to do something. For us as Christians, what is it that we're supposed to do in our life? It says that we're supposed to have love and good works, right? To sum that up as simple as possible, to do love and good works, here's what it means, to be more and more like Jesus. The author says he begins with love, right? He says we're to love. The word here for love is agape. This isn't I love Snickers. Right? As Jesus followers, we are to love as Jesus loved you. A selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. This means that you love whether that person's going to love you back or not. I think that might be the hardest part about this whole thing. Anybody else in here relational? Like, I'm a relational guy. Sometimes my feelings get hurt. I didn't lose my man card because Jesus loves me, okay? I'm just going to throw that out there. But man, loving, knowing someone may not love me back, that's what he's talking about. And so how do we love? We first love Jesus. We love God. The Bible says we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all you are, every bit of you is to love Jesus. We're to love one another. Jesus himself says in John chapter 13 that we here in the church family, we're to love one another as Jesus loves us. And we're to love our neighbors, church. Who's our neighbor? Jesus makes it very clear. Anybody God puts in your path. The bad driver. We got a few of them. Right? The Democrats and the Republicans, church. We're to love our neighbor. And so being part of being more and more like Jesus is we have to love. By the way, the only way we can love is if we experience Jesus' love in and through us first. And then he says, do good works, right? This is doing what's right and good in the eyes of God. And so we watch out for one another and we also provoke and lovingly push one another to love like Jesus, to do good works as he calls us to do. Right? We're to do what God calls us to do. Church, this is important. The Bible is telling us that you and I, at Authentic Life, we have a responsibility to provoke one another to be more and more like Jesus. My walk with Jesus is your responsibility and vice versa. Here's what this is saying. As we do life together, as we are involved in each other's lives, as we are better together in community as a church family, we're to help one another pursue Jesus and help one another live the life he calls us to live. It's called discipleship. This is called growing together. And Hebrews is saying we need to accomplish that. To accomplish this, we need each other. For you to live the life, don't miss this. For you to live the life Jesus has for you, the Bible says first and foremost, you need him. But you need to pursue Jesus and do life with his family. So any idea that you have or that I have thinking we can pursue Jesus and grow on our own, God's word is saying, brother or sister, that is not true. You've been fed a lie. To grow, to mature in our walk with Jesus, for us to pursue Jesus as he calls us to do, the Bible says, do it together. To grow as Jesus intends is impossible without being part of the local church. By the way, people say all the time, but they're hypocrites, they're this, that. Of course we are. We're human beings, church. Beings, not beans. I'm gonna have some beans later today, amen? But church, we're not perfect. Jesus has got that covered, amen? Man, but that's why Jesus says, the Bible says that we're to forgive one another, be stretched out in love for one another, because we're gonna need it. By the way, the other person isn't the only one need forgiving. You need it too. That's a whole nother message. We all need grace. Scripture examples for us and calls us to be devoted to fellowship and learning and growing together. It's our job together to make sure no one is left behind. Amen? We're called to encourage one another, to teach one another, and church, be encourageable and teachable. Is encourageable a word? It is now. We can provoke one another by seeing sin in each other's lives and lovingly speaking into their life and helping them repent and turn from that. We talked about that last week. You need other people to help you stop sinning. Right? This could be caring for each other, serving one another, serving with others. It's to be intentional about being together. And when we come to passages like this, we have to ask ourselves, right? Here's the conviction part, church. How am I doing? How am I doing in that? How are you doing in reaching out to others in the church? How are you doing in caring for others in this church? How are you doing in regard to serving one another and serving with others? How are you doing in allowing others to be a part of your life? How are you doing in pursuing others to be a part of their life? The Bible teaches us to be united, to be together, to be stretched out in love for one another. How are we doing with that? You got to be intentional, church. Let me say this super clear. This is exciting. God is, I promise you, God is doing things in and through our church family. I promise you, it's amazing. And things that only he can take credit for. He's been doing it for 9 years. He's going to continue to do it. I truly believe that. But God is using you and me, all of us, to be a part of it. He's using all of us to be a part of it. One family together. Church, it takes every member, every person working together, helping one another, encouraging one another, serving together. I'm convinced that we will continue to see God at work. To see that happen, he's still calling us to look out for one another. He's still calling us to provoke one another to love and good works, to be more and more like Jesus. Church, as a family, Authentic Life Church has been a family for 9 years. That's the reason we're here today, because we've trusted Jesus, doing life together, considering and watching out for one another, encouraging one another to be more and more like him. And I'm asking you as your pastor, let's continue to be committed to that. Then we come to verse 25. The author of Hebrews says this. He says, watch out for one another, provoke one another, push one another to love and good deeds, to be more and more like Jesus. And then he says this, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. He says, as we pursue Jesus, as we live as his church, as we share the gospel, as we grow in our walk, we cannot neglect gathering together. To neglect church means to abandon. It's a really sad statistic. When we first came out here, we were missionaries coming out here. When we first came out here, the statistic said that if you went to church twice a month, you were considered churched. Now it's once a month, maybe less than a month. If you go to church 12 times a year, the world considers you to be a part of a church family. I don't know what family y'all grew up in, but that wouldn't, like, grandma's going to have, like, she's going to, like, whoop me. You know, you got to be involved, grandson. Are you with me, church? Right? It's just not, to neglect means to abandon. When we gather together, there should be encouragement happening, unity happening, worshiping happening, learning and growing, speaking into each other's lives. There should be strengthening. Church, the Bible says we're to rejoice together and weep together. Right? That's what we do. We come alongside one another. All of that should be happening, forgiving one another. And the Bible says that we should not neglect that. Don't abandon it. Be intentional about pursuing it. That being together, church, should be a priority in your life if you're a Christ follower. It shouldn't just be an afterthought for you or for me. The Bible is saying, hear me clearly. Let me show you. Here's my calendar. The Bible is saying gathering together deserves priority on your calendar. Not, hey, I got something else going on, I'm going to set it aside. No, being with God's family deserves priority in your calendar. That's what this is saying. Can we still be friends? Are we okay? All right. I'm going to say it anyways. I just want to know if we... Praise God for technology to stay connected, right? For whenever we're truly unable to gather. We got brothers and sisters that are homebound. Praise God they can watch. Hey, guys, right? Praise God for that. Praise God we can have that when people are out of town or they're sick. But let's just be honest. After 2020 and COVID, too many people got comfortable with being online. Maybe it was unintentional, right? Things happen. You get out of the habit of it. Maybe it was intentional and you ended up neglecting gathering with the family, but God's word is saying, please don't, actually it's not please, it's don't do it. Don't neglect, don't abandon my family. Don't abandon your church family. And that leads us to our third truth. Let's watch out for one another. Let's provoke one another to be more like Jesus. And church, here's a commitment. Be committed to gather together regularly. Many people ask, what does it mean to gather regularly? This passage isn't meant to give us a specific formula, right? But we do have a biblical model of what it looks like in the early church. We do know that the early church gathered together weekly. They set the precedent for that. We see in Acts that they gathered together on the first day of the week as a whole family. They sang and they worshiped and they prayed and they preached the word of God. We also see in many places that they gathered daily from house to house, right? This was intentional to be involved in each other's lives, to study the word together in large group and in smaller groups. They prayed together. They encouraged one another. They served with one another. And so as we celebrate 9 years, as we look forward to many more years of seeing God do amazing things in and through our church, let's take the time to not only celebrate, but really recommit. You guys ever gone to a vow renewal? Three of you. Great. Okay. Just gonna make this example really good. Okay. A lot of times when a family or when a married couple is celebrating their anniversary, they renew their vows. They're celebrating their marriage. They're celebrating all that God has done. They celebrate all the stuff, but they take the time to be committed to remain faithful to one another. Are you with me? They recommit. We've done that, right? Recommit. I think anytime we celebrate here at Authentic Life Church, anytime we celebrate our anniversary, let's reflect on God's goodness, right? Let's celebrate all that God has done. Give him the credit and the praise, but let's also commit and recommit and recommit to remain faithful, church, right? Let's commit as Christ followers to watch out for one another. Let's commit to help one another, pursue Jesus and grow in our walk with him. Let's commit to gather together, to make it a priority, to be here, to be involved, to be active and part of this faith family. This is who we were made to be at Authentic Life. This is what we're called to be committed to, togetherness, church, as we pursue Jesus. So for us at our church, we have our Sunday gathering. We have this. We worship. We're united in mind and purpose and mission. We're praying together. We're devoted to the teaching of God's word. We're singing to him and about him and for him. We also come together and we talk and we connect and we check in, right? We have small groups, life groups, meeting during the week. Again, gathered in smaller groups devoted to growing in Christ and relationship with one another. And by the way, people here should be your friends. Not just I go to church with them, right? They should be your friends, developing and growing in friendships, right? If that's not happened for you, don't get frustrated. Just pray and ask God, God, I need a friend. Be intentional about that. Church family, we have the honor of watching out for one another. We have the honor of provoking one another to be more and more like Jesus. We get to gather together. I know some of y'all introverts get drained, but man, this fills me up. We get to be authentic, church. We get to be accountable. We get to have people in our corner. We get to worship Jesus with those who love us. And church, as we see the day approaching, as it gets closer and closer to the time we're with Jesus, this is going to become more and more important. Until Jesus returns or takes us home, be committed to being together and encouraging one another. This is God's design for us, church, to be together. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need everyone that is a part of the family. And we need people to be a part of the family regularly. By the way, if you're here today or if you're online and we haven't seen you in a while, I'd pray that you'd be committed to do that, to be here, because it's good for you. And we need you. But let's honor God and prioritize what he says is important, and let's watch out for one another. Provoke each other to be more like Jesus. Be committed to gathering together regularly, weekly, smaller groups. Be involved in a small group, church. Get to know each other personally. Reach out to one another. Check in on each other. Pray for one another. Here's the thing. We are better together, which means we're not better when we're not together, right? We're stronger together, which means when we're weaker when we're not together, right? We need one another to do all and be all that Jesus calls us to be and do. Tucson, church, hear me clearly. Tucson needs Jesus. Tucson needs Jesus. Your neighbors need Jesus. Your family needs Jesus. Your coworkers need Jesus. Your schoolmates need Jesus. We need Jesus, and we need one another to take Jesus out into the world, church. God has brought us together to do life, to serve, to encourage, to grow, and to reach Tucson and the world with the good news of Jesus. By the way, I want to just celebrate here something for a moment. We collected in the month of December for Lottie Moon. It's our missions, right? Church, I'm going to say, I'm not going to share the exact amount because I don't remember, okay? But out of the amount that we've given, we quadrupled it. That money went straight into the pockets of missionaries who are reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. We did it together. To do that, to share the gospel, to be who God's called us to be, we need him and we need each other. We cannot lose our love for Jesus. This is all for him and about him. And we need each other. Let's commit to this day. Church, let's commit right now. Watch out for one another. Provoke one another to be more and more like Jesus and be committed to gathering regularly to open his word together and to worship him. Amen, church? Let's pray.